following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
Well, I think that's about all the buttons I can push to get things started while we get things spooled up to Chip. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday night edition of Kayak Fishing Radio. I am not Chip Gibson, the tree hugger. I am Greg Becker, a.k.a. Big Fly Reel, getting things started while Chip's getting out of the car, getting upstairs to the studio, fixing his hair, getting his makeup done, and getting ready to come online. He'll be with us momentarily, but starting off the show with us in the chat room, Bill Howard, our ever-popular Haywood. Good evening, Bill.
And I'm not in the chat room, but thank you anyway.
I was hoping you'd be in the chat room. He's here with us on Bugger Pro. Also, Jim from Atlanta just telling us that he's looking at the brim and waiting for the bass. So it's a good way to get started. In the chat room, LGB and JPSW Fish, welcome and thanks for joining us. If you're just trying to log into the chat room as a guest, we had a couple people in and out. If you log in using any of your social media accounts, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any of those, you can actually participate in the fun in the chat room instead of just watching as an observer. So last week, Chip was out at a concert, so some folks might have called in and attempted to participate in the show, only to find that it was a pre-recorded re-release of, I guess you'd call it a retro show. Chip re-ran another show, so I know we've got a lot of good stuff planned and backed up. And Jim, I have got that. Thanks. I know who you are in the chat room now. Chip's got some stuff lined up for tonight, but in the meantime, for those of you who may know, Bill Howard has shifted his ride these days. Bill, you want to tell us a little bit about what you're paddling these days and how it worked out for you?
Sure.
For status.
Well, as a lot of you know, I was sponsored by Malibu for a little over 3 years, and I decided it was time to make a change, so I left Malibu. And I was contacted by the guys at Hurricane Kayaks out of North Carolina, which was a perfect fit because that's exactly the kind of kayak that I was looking for. I was looking to get into something a little lighter, a little faster on the water. I wasn't concerned too much with standing. I needed something that was a little easier to paddle, a little faster, a little bit longer legs on the water. So I am now paddling for Hurricane Kayaks, and I have a Phoenix 14 in yellow and white sitting in my garage, and I absolutely love it. I went out on a day that I 2 weeks ago, I went out on a day that I probably would have stayed home because of the wind and the fact that I just do not have the strength that I did to paddle a almost 80-pound kayak that, you know, blocks a lot of water, pushes a lot of water. I wouldn't have gone out, but we went out on that day, and it was just killer. I intentionally picked a spot where I would have to paddle hard across the wind, and I just cut right through it. So, you know, I was like, okay, yep, this is it. This is exactly what I was looking for, and I couldn't be happier.
Well, I mean, to start off with, the fact that it's yellow makes it much faster, just to begin with, because everybody knows yellow boats are fast.
But, that's it.
You know, the Stealth 14 that you were paddling was a pretty substantial boat. Because of that, I mean, it had a lot of beam, it was very long, it was heavy, as you say, and you had a lot of stability there, both primary and secondary stability. I know you really spent a lot of time standing up, looking around the paddling. How does it look like that's going to work out in the lighter boat?
No, this one is only 28 inches wide, so there's no standing in this one.
And that's actually 3 inches narrower than my Altura.
Yeah, now I've stood up in yours. And I could do that. This one,
really?
I'd be a little leery. It would need some support on the hull to stand up, because it doesn't have a bulkheads between the hatches, so pretty much it's open space in there. There is foam underneath the seat to support the seat, but there isn't any foam in the area where you would stand up. So I don't. And 28 inches is, I could stand up in my Heritage Redfish, but I don't recall off the top of my head how wide that was. I think it was like 29, maybe 30. So, but they do, they make a skimmer 12.8, which is more geared toward fishing. And they do have something in the works that I can't talk about that, you know, will possibly be able to stand up and fish. So I'm real excited. I was thoroughly pleased with how I was accepted, and I think it's going to be a good partnership on both accounts.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, I know that there you had some challenges in the past with a couple of things that were going on health-wise. That was a challenge for you to tire you out. I think, you know, certainly the lighter, faster boat will be a better paddle for you physically.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's 53 pounds, and it's just, you know, slick as it can be. I mean, it glides forever. And just the one trip that I took with it, it is a little bit more susceptible to the wind. It'll drift a little quicker. But, you know, stake out, pole, and an anchor, and you can take care of that, no problem. But a few little things. I think it could use the bulkheads, because it has two nice-sized hatches on it, but they open to the hull. And so if you put anything down there, it could end up underneath your seat by the time you're done. So I think some hulls could, you know, even if they were just halfway, you know, not a full bulkhead, just a half a bulkhead would work real well. It's got a smart track rudder, which I really like. And I'm really happy with it. So I'm going to hit it hard this weekend and see what we can do with it.
Hey, you know, Bill, one of the things I did with the fish and dive that I had that I used to fish out of up in New York, I had the same issue with no bulkheads. And I took some fairly stiff closed cell foam and basically cut myself a bulkhead that I could wedge into those spaces where I wanted to block stuff off. It wasn't enough to keep water from flowing through necessarily because of the little bilge lines in the bottom of the boat. And frankly, I wasn't as concerned about the water. But I was able to keep stuff from flopping around and sliding back and forth that way. So that might be
something
if you decide that's really something you want to do.
That's all I'm looking to do, is just to keep stuff from, when you pick it up, just to keep stuff from sliding in the back and, you know, flopping around inside. And then I've got to get some, I ran into the same problem you did when I moved the rudder. The bottom of my boots will squeak on the squeaky hull there. So I need to get some C-deck desperately. So I'm working on getting that installed.
Very good. Very good. Going to this in the chat room, Tommy Head Jakes from up north, the maker of probably the only pink pepper jigs that I've ever seen, that I hope to give a little workout this coming weekend. Didn't get him out last weekend like I hope. Had another trip, but hope to get those out there. Good to see you in the chat room. Tommy, a couple guests with us, as we said. If you want to log in with your social media accounts, you can join the fun in the chat room.
What does that mean? I can't get in.
You must be the one that's snoozing there and that's showing the sleepy icon in the chat room.
Maybe.
If you're just joining us, this is Greg Becker, Big Fly Reel, at the helm temporarily until our normal Thursday night host and godfather of Kayak Fishing Radio, Chip Gibson, joins us. He's running a few minutes late tonight. Let's expect him in any minute. Bill, when you were out, you had the boat out. How'd you do last weekend?
We did really good. The snook, despite the wind, and it was pulling pretty good. we had a good 10, 12 knot, you know, breeze, and we fished a fairly protected area, but the snook were on fire. We were trying to target redfish, and we only got one redfish, and the rest of us just hammered snook. They were really, really chewing, so good sign. Nothing really big. They were all, you know, 25, maybe 27. Saw a couple big ones. But like I said, it was blowing pretty good, so the areas that, you know, we normally find them, it was a little hard to get set up and stay in that spot very long without getting blown off of there. So,
right. Well, I'll while we're waiting for Chip to come in, I'll mention the kayak fishing boondoggle. I'm not going to mention the one that's coming up on Columbus Day weekend, because if you want to take a look at that, you can go to kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle or yakangler.com/boondoggle to find out more information about the Perdido Key boondoggle coming up on Columbus Day weekend. But I want to talk a little bit about something that happened at the past boondoggle, and it's a related kayak fishing story, but I think it's worth mentioning. At this past boondoggle, one of the door prizes that was given away was a half-day charter on Florida's Gulf Coast with Captain Sean Nurath of Mission Fish and Charters. And through an interesting series of events, my son Robert, who's 10, actually wound up winning that charter. That boondoggle was back on President's Day weekend this past February, and it's been a while, but we finally found a weekend that we could hook up with Captain Sean and get up and launch out of, Hernando Beach. And the primary intention of the trip was to get Robert out on his first powerboat trip in the Gulf and see what we could find. Sean's got the perfect boat for the types of trips he does. It's quick. It's a good ride. Got plenty of room for, you know, whether you're fishing artificials, fishing bait. For a boat that size, I think it's a 26-footer, but for a boat that size, it only draws a foot of water. You know, he can get back into the skinny water pretty well as get out into the deeper stuff out in the Gulf. So he's really got a good all-around vessel for the type of fishing he's doing. We loaded up, went out to try and find some bait, had a few challenges with that, so decided to go out and see what we could do with some cut bait. Ran out about 14 miles offshore to a secret super stealthy cobia hole, and within a few minutes, Robert was hooked on a real decent sized shark. Tangent to say that all of the rods on Sean's boat, all the rods are made by Bobay rods. I've fished a lot of different types of custom rods, and frankly, I have mixed opinions about spending a lot of money on custom rods, because sometimes a lot of it's glitz as opposed to function. But I will say that the Bull Bay rods did an outstanding job of handling the fish that Robert had to deal with. He admittedly did a great job fighting the fish, but a lot of that was having the right tool for the job. And from all the way from the lightweight redfish tackle all the way up through the stroker rods for pulling grouper up off the bottom, the Bull Bay rods did a great job. Anyway, Robert hooked up on a good-sized shark, got a couple of sharks to the boat, got a big stingray to the boat. Bill, not as big as the one that you had out in the bay that was as big as a Volkswagen hood. But yeah. It's still, you know, a two-foot stingray, which is good size, sucked itself to the bottom for a few minutes. Hook landed his first cobia, which, by the way, tasted really good on the grill the other night. We had some of that. Hooked up on a few grouper, took a quick picture of that, and we're tossing gag over as fast as we could haul them in. And the one thing that ties back into the Bull Bay rods was Robert hooked into a really good-sized kingfish on what basically amounts to heavy redfish tackle. And with the Bull Bay rod, he was able to fight that fish to a draw and would have landed it had he not run underneath the boat and got cut off on the bottom of the boat. So it was a great time. Sean, it was, you know, some extra time out there, worked with Robert. Sean did a great job with kids. If anybody has kids and they're looking to get out on a charter to get them out for the first time, you know, there was no pressure, interacted well with the kids, allowed Robert to fish to his level and supported him at that. I basically sat back and took pictures. So it was a really good time. I wanted to thank Captain Sean and Kelly Phillips from Bull Bay Rods for the donation of the prize to the Boondoggle as a door prize. Thank Captain Sean again for taking the time and doing such a great job on the charter. If anybody has an interest in getting out, he does scallop runs. He does all kinds of fishing all year round out of the northern Pinellas, Pasco, Hernando area of the Gulf Coast. Captain Sean Murath, Mission Fishin, MISSIONFISHIN, charters. And if you want, drop me a note, either greg@yakangler.com, and I can get you all the particular information. But his website's out there. Captain Sean's a great guy, does a great job. So we wanted to say thank you for the donation and for the door prize, and let him know it went to a good spot. Nobody else in the chat room, but we do notice that the Godfather and normal host, Kayak Fishing Radio on Thursday night, says, tremendous, Chip Gibson, welcome to your own show.
Thanks. You didn't miss me, did you?
More than words can say, brother.
I appreciate you starting it up, man. So,
hey, glad to do it.
Well, you know, last week we had to run a rerun, which kind of messed with Haywood's mind because when I started talking to him on the rerun, he thought he was tripping. So, and this week I didn't want to do another rerun, and I thought, wow, we can make it. But it was kind of an impromptu. They wanted an encore. The Clone received, like, the Director's Award for Music Ability and Scholarship. And so he had to go and play a solo tonight, which I'm glad that I stuck it out. Of course, he was, like, the last kid to play. And luckily, it's only a couple of minutes from the house. So, but he did a great job. And he plays the alto sax. So,
oh, very good.
Yeah, and he was, like, doing the Kenny G thing, you know, closing his eyes and kind of moving with the rhythm and stuff. He was getting into it, so. But did a nice job. I'll probably post a video on Facebook to just make him really totally hate his dad, so. But,
that's what dads are
anyway,
for, bro.
Yeah, that's what we're for. So, yeah, so he's good. And I see in the chat room we got LGB. We got a couple of guests. You guys can sign in with your social media if you'd like to participate in the chat room.
No,
Jim is hanging in there. Yeah? Yeah? No? We can't?
I can't get in this chat room.
You can't?
Again. I had it figured out, but now you've changed something.
I didn't change nothing, man.
Last week I was hearing my own voice say different words, and now I can't get in the chat room.
You're like... Yeah, okay, Chip. Oh, no way. Who's that talking, man? All right. Tommy Head Jigs in there. Chat room seems to be working. Okay. Oh, well.
I guess you got to be smarter than the chat room to get into it. Yeah. I don't qualify.
You're smarter than some fish, though, man.
About it.
Yeah, I came in at the tail end, listened to the final wrap-up of the Cobia trip, and... offshore with Mission Fish in there, and that was a great thing. We really appreciate him for providing that as one of the prizes there, Boondoggle. And guys had a great time. And it's now your favorite fish to eat? Is that, did you?
Oh, my goodness.
You didn't talk about the eating of the cobia?
I did not. I wanted to get you into the show, but I got to tell you, Captain Sean used, I brought along, Bill, you'll be happy to hear that the Bubba Blade knife will cut more than just your thumb.
Okay.
We used it to fillet that cobia up there, and it went through it like butter, cut it up into some nice steaks, brought that home, and I took some of them, put them on a grate to do them on the grill. I sprayed them all with a little bit of grape seed oil. I like that a little bit better. It has a little bit more flavor and has a much higher smoke point than olive oil does. Did just a little bit of salt and pepper on one, did some adobo on a couple more, and then did what's called mad hunky rub. Hunky as in Hungarian, not hunky as in big beefy fireman like me.
Right.
Thanks. So I that was a pregnant pause. Right. It's a paprika garlic rub by Mad Hunky Meats, and it goes on anything. Was turned on to that by a local guy here who just does an amazing job cooking. Goes by Mark R. on one of the local forums, and had some of his chicken wings with that. But I digress. Put a little bit of that on, put them on the grill for 10 or 11 minutes, took them off, and I will tell you what, I've never had a better piece of fish in my life, any of them. They were all outstanding, and Cobia needs to be a target. Tommy, the fillet knife is called the Bubba Blade, B-U-B-B-A-B-L-A-D-E. Mm-hmm. It is an outstanding, serious cutting tool for filleting fish or cutting up meat and stuff like that. It's seriously a two-cut fillet per side if you after you practice a little bit. It's a big knife. You can go look at them at BubbaBlade.com. There'll be a review up very shortly on YakAngler.com, and you can get all the information there.
Right.
But
and
yes,
actually,
I like Cobia a lot.
Well, I mean, they are people, you know, they red snapper, grouper, wahoo. No, if you haven't had Cobia, I mean, that is like the best eaten fish that I have ever had out of the Gulf. I mean, and they go all the way around and up the coast on the other side too. So, yeah, I mean, if it's not Cobia, then it should be lobster, you know.
And we were looking for triple tail too, Jim. I saw the post there. We were looking for triple tail, but couldn't find any on any of the little map. They really weren't in all that much yet where we were at. But we were also looking for the triple tail. So
the Bubba Blade. And do you have the stiffy fillet knife or the flex fillet?
Well, thank you for asking and noticing, Chip. I appreciate that. Yeah, that was after we saw how well it cut. But this is actually the stiffer of the two blades.
Right.
And I have to tell you, I've used everything from little 4-inch Rapala trout knife on fillet knife on little trout on a campsite, all the way up to bigger ones designed for seagoing size fish, and I didn't really think I would like the idea of a stiffer knife with a thicker, a deeper blade, if you will, not necessarily thicker, but a deeper blade, because I was used to my way of filleting a fish, but I had the good sense to pay attention to what the guys at Bubba Blade told me and watch a couple of the videos on how to actually use this knife, and once you see that you're literally filleting fish with three slices. You're making a slice down, a slice to the tail, flop into section, skinning off the tail, and you're done. Because the blade is that sharp, it's that good, and it'll cut the fish that way. It really is impressive. And if you're doing any kind of volume of fish, especially if you're a guide, and you're filleting fish every day for folks, I imagine this would be like, you know, another right hand to have and use all the time. So it's a great
knife. And
when
you first look at it, it just doesn't, the blade doesn't even look like, you know, what you would think of as a fillet knife. I mean, I have one, not the Bubba Blade. It's an older knife that I inherited from my pop. And it's like, it has the same style blade, but it's real long. It's like 9.5 inches, you know. And you just think, man, this looks like something you would go after a side of beef with, you know. But it works awesome on fish. And, it works out well. That's what I was trying to do that with those redfish that we were cleaning there at Simmons, but I'm a little out of practice. But that's what happens when you get into catch photo release and you don't keep a few every now and then to stay in the practice of cleaning them out. But yeah, so the Cobia thing is definitely a lot of fun. And I would tell you that when you go to try to put one in your kayak, to make sure that it is not a green fish, because you do not want to put a green cobia in your lap.
No,
so,
no, not more than one.
No. I mean, they need to be well worked over before you bring them in a boat, because a big fish will hurt somebody in a boat. They'll break your ankle or whatever. Yeah, Jim's like, that's what baseball bats are for. That's right, man.
Yeah. Well, this wasn't necessarily a real big one. It was just legal at 35. Legal is 33. But Sean was telling us that a couple of days before, he had his mom out on a trip, and they lost one that was, they had right up to the boat and lost it. He estimated it on the marks on the side of the boat at almost 70. And I made him repeat it, that's 70 inches. That is monstrous. I would almost be afraid to put that fish in the boat without a, you know, without an anchor hooked through its head.
No kidding. Yeah, you gotta
that's
hang
a serious
on.
Serious gaff. Yep. So,
well, you know,
anyway.
Did you look at the fish? You know how those spikes come up along its dorsal, you know, and stuff.
Yep.
I mean, they've got some serious tools to get rid of you. I mean, they can fight back. So, but anyways, that's cool, man. I'm glad Robert caught some fish. You had some nice grouper. Unfortunately, those get to go swimming again and stuff.
Yeah, but actually, the word is that Sean heard that they might be opening up grouper season sometime later on this summer. But I will tell you that it was very challenging. I was actually at one point, we were catching them as we were releasing them back over. I was saying, buy grouper sandwich, buy grouper nuggets, and, you know, just calling my own little pet names as they were going back into the water.
That's right. Yeah. So Bill, what have you been up to, man? Did you catch some fish this weekend or what? How's the new boat?
No, this weekend, what did I do? Sunday we had our family night at our company. We went to the Tampa Bay Rays baseball game. And Saturday I hung out and did some stuff with my daughter. So, yeah, we didn't get any fishing in this past weekend. Did all right the weekend prior to that, though, but...
Yeah. So I don't know. I came in late, so... Am I being redundant to ask you the new boat?
Yeah, we talked about that a bit.
Yep.
Really? You did all of that in the first 15 minutes of the show? Holy cow, man. All right. So I guess the boat's okay then.
Yep. I like the new boat. Love it. It's exactly what I was looking for, and I think it's going to end up being a good win-win situation for everybody. And I got some new toys today to pimp it out with, so I'm really happy.
Yeah?
Excited.
What are we thinking here? What are we talking about?
I got two GoPro 2s.
No, really? All right.
All kinds of accessories. The post office found my Railblazer 60-inch camera mount that got lost from Australia. They found it, so I should have that tomorrow.
Nice.
So hopefully I can get it all rigged up. Tomorrow I will be at the VA hospital in Tampa all day at a rehabilitation sports expo with our Heroes on the Water booth. So hopefully we'll be signing some vets up and getting them out on the water to do some fishing.
Nice.
Amen, brother.
And what?
I said amen, brother.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And that's with Paddle Fishing Group, right? The Heroes on the Water and Paddle Fishing?
Yeah, paddlefishing.com and Heroes on the Water, yep.
Nice. I was kind of wanting to talk a few minutes about rigging a boat and what you think about when you're rigging a new boat, because my pop, who might be one of those guests listening in there, had just got a new Ultimate 12 with the Propel on it. And they actually made it down to the Panhandle a couple of weekends ago for him to do some sea trials. The first day it was pretty much a rough sea, but then the next day it was pretty much glass, and so he got to go out and actually, you know, kick it into gear and pedal it around and stuff like that. But the gunnels on that boat are a little different because they've got the rudder handle up on the left side of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Seat's about the same, but there's no rails. Like, they've got the rails, the tracks on the regular Ultimates and on the 12 that he had before. But on this boat, there's just some indentations in there. So he's thinking about playing with the gear track. And I have seen, you know, you say you got that mount that's the Railblazer. Is that like its own mount, or what's the difference between that and like the gear track from Yak Attack?
The Railblazer has a like a star lug system, and I can't remember off the top of my head which one that I went with for this camera mount, but I do believe they have a track system that's similar. Honestly, Chip, I haven't. I don't really get into a lot of the rigging stuff that's out today. I like to keep my boat real simple. I want two flush rod holders behind me, and I'll put a Scotty up in the front where I can reach it. That's all I need. I don't want a lot of extra crap on there. I'll use the flush rod holders when I troll for kingfish.
Right.
Any other time, I just lay the rod down in my lap, or I have it in that front rod holder, and that's it. So it's kind of new territory for me trying to come up with stuff for my cameras. I made a, thank God for PVC and zip ties.
Yeah.
Because I made a rudimentary camera mount with some PVC. All you need is a 1/4-20 bolt, and you can go and get faucet washers and thread that on there, and that kind of acts as a buffer that when you screw your camera down on that 1/4-20 bolt, it hits that rubber washer and tightens up without actually bottoming the bolt out on your camera mount or on the camera itself. And I got that rigged up, and heck, the other day I put that little Kodak PlaySport camera on one, stuck it down in the rod holder of my Stealth when I still had that, and that's a great the video of me fighting the big stingray. That's what that was. That was an old takeout pole that I cut down, put half a pool noodle in the flush rod, shoved that thing down in there, bam, camera mount.
So, nice.
But there's a lot of good stuff out there. You just have to, you have to research it and look and see what's good for you. I haven't spent a lot of time looking at that stuff, so I couldn't really give you a good answer on some of it.
Too much fishing, right? Got no time for it. Ain't got time for that, right?
I keep it simple, My milk crate has my two Scotties and a three rod mount that's on the back of the milk crate for rods going straight up. And then I have my two Scotties that I can lay in there sideways, and that's it. That's all I need. I don't need a lot of stuff on there that gets in the way.
Right. And now your new boat, that's not a, it's not like it's a polyform boat or the.
Yeah, it's not a rotomolded. It's actually two halves that are fused together.
Right.
There are no scupper holes that go through the hull. There is a tube system where it drains, and it drains down into one central hole. It's very thin, strong, lightweight plastic material.
How is the weight on it? I mean, is it pretty light?
Yeah, it's only
53
pounds.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
So, no more hernia boat.
No more hernia boat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to keep up with Becker now? I mean, are you slick
maybe
and fast
able, yeah,
as he
I
is?
Yeah, I don't know. I might be able to.
So you're not hesitant to like drill holes in that boat or anything? You're going to do an anchor trolley or something like that?
It's already rigged. Yeah, I got an anchor trolley.
Oh, okay.
It's already on there, and we put a Scotty up front and two flush in the back. Yeah, we spent afternoon over in St. Pete with Paul Silvernail. He is the owner of Masthead Sailing Gear, and he's sells kayaks and accessories. I've known Paul through my time with Malibu, and so we went over there and rigged it up. Real happy with it.
Nice. So how much time you got on the water in it so far?
About 6 hours.
Okay. Well, it's still new.
One day.
One day.
Oh, yeah.
But you got some slime on it and stuff. You caught a few fish, right?
Yeah, right off the bat. Nice smoke.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, all right. Well, this weekend, the team, myself, Adam Hayes, and Jerry Fairbanks is their last name. I can't remember. But we're all headed down to walk the ground for the upcoming or the October boondoggle, the Columbus Day boondoggle. We're going to go down and visit with the we're meeting the Chamber of Commerce and the Howe group that's there, Chris Johnson and the guys there, along with the local kayak shops and Outcast Bait and Tackle, Pensacola Kayak and Sail. We're actually going to go over and say hello to the folks at the Naval Air Station. We're hoping on being able to get a shuttle system set up to take folks from the boondoggle, which is about it's probably about 5 miles, 6 miles from the Naval Air Station, from the Naval Aviation Museum there. So hopefully that's something that, if you're in the area, it's certainly something you should try out, because, I mean, I think the Pensacola Naval Aviation Museum is second only to the National Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. So the Smithsonian.
I'll still be more impressed when you get the number 7 backseat tickets, then we'll talk.
Okay, all right. I'll see what I can do, man. The number 7 backseat for Becker in the F-18. So
that's right.
All right. You wouldn't just settle for a ride in one of the new T-6 Texans?
I'd be fine with that, too.
So, but yeah, it's a really nice, the museum is pretty cool there. So we're going to do that and then visit with everybody, walk the ground. So keep an eye on Facebook this weekend, because we'll be shooting some pictures and, trying to get everybody, some folks, to see what they've got to look forward to for the next boondoggle. We only have, I think they're out of like 130-something campsites, with electric campsites and the primitive sites. I think we have about 8 or 10 of the primitive sites left, and about 19 left of the electric sites. So we're just about sold out on the site. So if you're up in the air about registering for the next boondoggle, you might want to make your decision and do that now, because they have gone pretty quick. So, and that's yakangler.com/boondoggle, and there's a big registration button there. Make sure you read and look at the map and stuff, so you can figure out which area you want to be in. But we've got some stuff going, and actually young lady that I work with just put her first album out this week, or 2 weeks ago, Miss Karen Womack. She's a kind of a up-and-coming young singer, and just published her first album. It's out on iTunes, and she has kindly consented to sing for us on Saturday night, so we have some live entertainment, and she's going to play her guitar and sing some new songs off of her album. And that should be a lot of fun to enjoy some dinner with there. So should be a lot of fun. And camping at the Marriott at Orange Beach, okay. No problem, man. There's also, if you're retired military or active military, or if you have I forget DOD, which DOD levels and stuff like that, but there is a campground. If we do sell out, there are some backup sites. We'll be posting those. And there is a campground right at the Naval Air Station. It's called Oak Grove. There's also Blue Angel Campground down the road, and they have some cabins and stuff like that. So if you have that, if you have a green card, military ID, you can get in on those. So that would be fun. And for showing up late, I don't have a whole lot more to go on. We're coming around just about a quarter of the hour up, and I think I appreciate the work, the opening of the show there by Mr. Becker. you weren't at a loss for words.
Glad to do it.
Yes, sir. And the plan for the weekend, you're going out chasing cobia, is that it?
I'm not sure if there'll be cobia in the picture, but hopefully getting out, maybe getting out with someone else on the show here on Saturday, and then might be taking the other family members for a leisurely paddle on Tampa Bay on Sunday, try to get everybody out for a little bit in the sunshine. So.
Nice. Well, now, did you catch the cobia in the bay, or was it offshore?
No, this was out in the Gulf. We were at about 14 miles. Off of Hernando Beach, the water shoals very, very gradually. It only drops off a foot per mile going out of Hernando. So it's a really, really shy. I mean, you've got miles and miles and miles and miles of redfish water, but you got to go out a little bit of a ways to get into, get into the deeper water. So
now the last time that the clone and I fished out of a powerboat in Tampa Bay, we were over by the port area, and we were hooking up with some snook, and he caught a couple of cobia over in that area. So and we were inside the bay. So
yep.
I know they're in there. Yeah. So they're there.
Yeah, there's some in here. All... I'm sure Haywood knows much better than I do where to find them, and I will be kneeling at his feet to learn more information about where to possibly dig them out. Because I'll tell you what. It's like crack. You know, like the pusher man. You know, the first Kobe is free, but after that, you got to pay. So,
you got to pay for it. That's right.
You'll
be trying to figure out a live well so you could carry some eels or some pinfish or something like that. Because what did you catch the what did Robert catch him on?
They were actually on, it was actually on cut bait. We were actually cutting up frozen sardines and using those. We wound up not being able to get any live bait. The white bait really stayed down more around the Hudson area, and we were looking for pinfish, and we were having some challenges staying on the schools to get the cast net on them. So I've got a few of the Berkeley artificial eels, so I may just have to have those in the boat just to fling out at them. But
and hoagie lures are good too.
Yeah.
The hoagies are good. And also a big jig with a little piece of shrimp tipped on a big white feathered jig. They love a big jig,
white bucktail jig works great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jim was saying in the chat room about the bass worms. I've got some of the big 10-inch Berkeley power bait, big Berkeley power worms that are like 10 inches long with a big long curly tail at the I've seen some folks online fishing with them for cobia, but I'm sure there's a ton of
really well.
The biggest challenge is finding the fish.
At the power plant for some reason when they're stuck up in there in the wintertime. Guys will throw those eel lures and they'll get them to hit that.
Now, and what would definitely put you into a 12-step program is a strip of fur looks like an eel on a fly rod, and that would definitely you'll be committed after that. I mean,
I've got probably 5 pounds of bunny strips in my saltwater tying box, both crosscut and straight cut, and I have thought several times since then about just cutting off an 8-inch piece of one of those and tying it on a fly rod and call it a cobia fly and see what I can do.
You know, Haywood, you've probably done this where you get a good chum slick going, you know, and you put some baits out under balloons for kingfish, and the cobia will sneak up under there too. Mm-hmm. So, and when you see them, because they'll just come right up to the boat to see where the chum's coming from. They're real curious fish. And when you see them, if you've got the...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you better have the fly rod ready.
Yeah. When they come out of the power plants, because that's where they go in the winter, they go to the power plants with the hot water runoff, and then they'll come out on these flats early spring when the water gets a little warmer, and there'll be some monsters come out, and you know, live greenback or whatever, threadfin, and they will absolutely nail it. Top water, they'll hit that too. And you know what's really weird? If there is a dredge out in the bay and they're doing a dredging project, those cobia will hang around those dredges.
Yep. I don't know. They're real like, curious fish.
They're very curious. And they'll just hang around those things. So it's really
weird. I've been out on the boats before, and, you know, they'll say, you know, oh, look at that big old giant remora. Because, you know, initially that's what they look like. And it's like, that's not a remora, that's a cobia. Get a lure in the water, you know. And
First thing when you see them on the flats is you think, oh, look at that shark, and then it's not a shark.
Yeah. No, I've seen them in the shallows, and folks say, oh, I've never seen a cobia up in it. Yeah, they'll go right up on the edge of the water, man. They're just real curious. And on a fly rod, dude, you're just going to be giggling, and just going crazy because they fight, man. So.
Nice.
All right.
Looking forward to expanding my horizons.
There you go. All right. Well, weather looks good for the weekend, so we'll be down in the panhandle. Keep an eye on the Kayak Fishing Radio and the Boondoggle Facebook pages. We'll be posting up some images from the future Boondoggle site. And so, Bill, have a good time working with the guys there at Howe.
Thank you, Jim.
You going fishing this weekend? Well, hold on. Yeah, what do you want, Haywood? What do you got?
What?
Bill?
I said something? I will. Yeah, I said
oh,
I will.
Okay. All right. And, Jim, you going fishing this weekend? What are you doing?
I'm going to try to slide out on Sunday. I think Saturday the wife and I are taking the Greyhound to one of these. There's some kind of event going on over in Douglasville in the rescue organization we got the Greyhound from. They're doing the Take Your Greyhounds, Let People Meet the Greyhounds, support the organization. So I think my Saturday is shot. But I think Sunday I'm going to slide out for a few hours. I don't know if I'm going to go for carp. The big carp are back on the flats down in the Tooch. I don't know if I'm going to go for carp or slide down to a pond and harass the bass some more.
Right. Yep, it's getting about that time. The warm weather has been getting them out. So.
Yeah, the river's real high right now. The river's too high to fish right now. It's up to it's up to the top of the bank. They must be generating in Lanier. So if it comes down, I might slide out for the weekend. But it would be a sleigh ride. I mean, I would probably end up down southeast of you in Apalachicola if I got on the river right now.
I have to go down to that new campsite and pick you up down there.
That's right.
All right. All right, then. Well, we appreciate it. Good luck to you. Tight lines to the guys. Folks in the chat room. Saw CWO Mac. Welcome aboard. Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio. It's the first time I've seen you in the chat room. Hope you tune in again. LGB, good to see you. And Tommy, make the call, man. Pull the trigger. Need to get you a kayak, man. Get ready to go. And CWO, is that like Chief Warrant Officer Mac? Is that what we're hearing? I'll give you a second to respond there. Did I pick it up? LGB. That's Karen. Oh, okay. That's Karen.
We'll always lean to the military.
CWO. Yeah, that's right. I always lean towards the military. Okay, Karen, thanks for joining us. Duh, yeah. So that's our singer. We'll have to get her on the air and play some tunes for us. All right. So thanks, Karen, and we'll see everybody next week. And... that'll do it for tonight. Thanks again, Mr. Becker. We appreciate it.
Hey, pleasure to be here.
All right, we're going to take us out with, I don't know, what do we do here? We'll go out with the buzzer drill. See y'all next week. Monday night, Chuck will kick it off. Good night now.